Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We are going to be covering Severance Season 2, Episode 2, Goodbye, Mrs. Silvig.
Yes, please. Yes, please, Mrs. Silvig. Yikes. Or Supervisor Lake. Is she still Supervisor Lake? She's going to continue to be Supervisor Lake because she can't get away with being this doppelganger creepy person. She's not a doppelganger. She's the same person.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's not...
You know what I meant. We have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, certainly. There will be spoilers for this show. We're into season two, and there are all these big reveals we've already had, and there are more to come, certainly, I hope, in this season, because there's definitely a lot still that we question about Lumen and everything else. So, we expect there will be spoilers if you've not watched this show. It's an easy watch on Apple TV. And we are having something to drink. This is my idea just because of the name. It's Blood Orange Ginger Beer. Blood Orange just sounds really threatening and creepy. And yeah, why not? Because it's Lumen. You know.
Yeah.
Threatening. Creepy. Mm-hmm. Let's get bloody. Let's do it. All right. So you want to get started?
Sure. We are essentially seeing what happened on the other side of, like, the Audi's perspective of the time frame that we covered last episode and a little bit before it. So we see the direct aftermath of Mark yelling, "She's alive!" And Devin's really concerned. She kind of figures out, like, eventually that Mark has snapped back into an Audi. And she's very concerned about what he just said, but she's kind of like, "Oh no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm checking that you're you. All right, awesome." Mark's very confused. Meanwhile, I feel weird calling her Helly. Helena talks to her father, who is angry with her. She calls her what? A moppet?
Yeah, it's a fetid moppet.
What the fuck, dude? Yeah, what kind of fuck ass?
Yikes.
Backcountry, like, what the hell? Dylan goes home with an ice pack as Milchick watches. Helena goes to Milchick and tells him to do what he sees fit with the people who revolted. Helena then talks to Cobell and thanks her for all of her help, which Cobell didn't really help, like, rounding up Helly when she was an innie, because, like, she recognized that she was an innie, but didn't stop her from going on stage. Like, yeah. I really don't understand why they're actually thanking her, but
I mean there, you get the sense that Helena or Helly is all in with the corporate stuff, and of course we had gotten that sense about her out Helly R's Audi anyway, but you just, the way she immediately starts covering her tracks as an innie, like, the lack of empathy for her innie is just,
oh, she hates her innie.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, you really have to wonder what it was that caused her to choose to be severed to begin with.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's clearly a PR move, but
it's not whose just idea that. Was it? But it's not just that, because, you know, it's pretty clear to me, like, obviously she's got this horrible relationship with her father, and, you know, this family's fucked up, you know, beyond all recognition. But at the same time, it's kind of like there had to be a reason why she was getting severed and why she is wanting to punish this innie so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a self-hatred thing that we don't see in her Audi at all.
No, but she's talking to Cobell and she's like, "We want to give you your job back." And she's like, "Oh, that's fabulous. I want an apology." And she's like, "On behalf of everyone, including my father, we are sorry." And she's just like, okay, well.
I like the contrition. So.
So yes, I think I will do that. And then she's just like, "Oh, by the way, it's not going, here's all my plans." And it's like, no, we're not giving you control of the severed floor again. You're going to be a part of a committee about the severed floor. And you're going to head the committee. You're going to basically do all of the, like, arranging for the committee. And Cabell's like, "Huh, I don't I want to be head of the severed floor, I think. And she's like, oh, Milchick has taken your spot.
Yeah, no, this whole committee thing. So I don't know how familiar you are with corporate universe or, like really anything, but more often than not, like if you're not firing somebody, you're putting them into some, you're moving them somewhere else. Like you mentioned The Wire, like the end of season one of The Wire. It's like, oh
You're
yeah,
going
there's
into
the,
the
and
basement.
well, no, what the thing you really don't want to do, really don't want to do is Marine Patrol, and that's where you end up. Like the thing that you want to do least. And so this corporate division that has never existed before is being created so that we can like kind of isolate you from anything that's actually happening on the severance floor. And Cobell is smart enough to pick up on it eventually, although she doesn't fully grasp like all of it. And like they're sitting there playing this passive aggressive corporate game in this conversation. It's like, ugh, it's disgusting. The lies they tell. It's gross.
Yep. So anyway, Cobell's like, I'll think about it. She doesn't completely outright reject the offer because she still loves Lumen. So, even after they've really fucked her. Anyway, so she Hel sorry, Helly, Helena records an apology and says she was drunk and made a joke. It's like, well, she says she had alcohol, and she also that mixed with an arm rash medication that was non-lumen, and so she had she was inebriated, and she made a joke, and it was poorly received, and she realizes how bad it is now. It's like all the bullshit that you say. And then Mr. Milchick, meanwhile, is checking in on the Audis and fires them. He fires Irv and Dylan. He obviously doesn't have to fire Helena. Helena's not going fucking, she's not
No.
fucking going back there.
No.
And then we also have a new intro. Yay!
Yay.
Meanwhile, Mark and Devin are sat down at the dinner table, and Mark's in denial that he was referencing Gemma when he says she's alive.
Yeah, it's
He's
weird.
thinking, oh, it's because we found the baby, and that's what I was referring to. And Devin's like, nah, I don't know about
Yeah,
that, bud.
it's weird to me because I almost felt like, are you trying to cover? Is this the story that you want them to cover up? Like what actually happened?
Like you
Like,
literally saw the picture in your hand of what you were talking about. Anyway,
it's
but
weird.
he's in denial because it would hurt even more. And the uncertainty and like all this time, like we'll talk about that.
Yeah, he and his sister have a more in-depth conversation later in the episode.
Yeah, Milchick shows up and talks to Mark. He tells him about the overtime contingency and that it was commandeered by a worker in the office.
It's just such a invasion and blah blah blah. It's like,
Devin is defensive about Cobell being anywhere near her or her baby, which is fair. They don't tell Milchick anything about like what Mark's innie told them. And Milchick does not fire Mark. In fact, he tries to spin the innie's work as a heroic act and a very brave act, and makes which ma would make Mark feel bad for getting rid of him if he were to quit. So he's trying to get Mark to not quit. Or not to quit or be fired. So it's
But it's
weird.
almost threatening, isn't it? It's
Yeah.
kind of like, well, it'd be really awful if we killed off your Rennie,
It's revealed a little bit later why they are trying to keep Mark on board.
A little bit. But again, there's a lot of mystery still going on here.
Yeah. Irv sees the map with Bert's name on it. It's like, huh, interesting. Mark notices Cobell is still next door, but she doesn't answer the door because he wants to confront that bitch.
Yeah, he knocks on her door and everything else, no response.
Helena watches the Helly and Mark kiss on the webcams, and she's like really encapsulated by interesting. She has a
Was encapsulated? She's fascinated by it.
I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, but no, well, you're tired. But yeah, she's very into it. She rewinds it and watches it over and over. It's like,
She's
okay.
invested. That's why what I was trying to say. Yeah, she's very weirdly invested in their love story, and she's like, okay, well, maybe it's just because she doesn't have any love in her own life, and she's like, well, the innie's able to do it.
Well, and she's able to see like that it's genuine emotion, and that's her. It's like, well, I felt something.
And to make this next part short, Dylan tries to find a new job. He interviews for a door company,
It's
and
funny. It is funny what
it
happens.
is, but it's
It's
too
not
long.
worth.
It's going well until the interviewer finds out he's severed and then he's discriminated against. He feels like he's failing his family. Meanwhile, Devin and Mark meet at the diner, and Devin wants to confirm what his inning meant. She wants to figure out if Gemma really is alive. But Mark is planning to quit, and so, but he hasn't put in his notice yet or anything like that. But Mark apparently saw Gemma's body and confirmed it was her.
Which
It was
it
burned.
was burned, right? And that's like at first it's like, well, I had to identify her body, and you're thinking, well, then he saw her. But then he's like, if you had to go and identify
Your
your
brother's
husband's burned
husband.
husband, is like, it really strikes you that maybe he couldn't identify her, and it was just other context that he was putting two and two together.
Then Devin says something that is true, but also very tone deaf of, Gemma's death affected me too. And then Mark goes on this very depressing,
Visceral.
tirade. I call it a tirade. It's a very measured speech about, well, did you have to tell her parents that she died? Did you have to tell her students that she died? Did you have to sleep next to her, like, still scented pillow and side of the bed after she died? Like, no, you didn't have to live with that living memory
The
that
emptiness.
I had to. So don't fucking say that you were just as affected as I was. And while Devin
She didn't say it
isn't,
that way.
she didn't say it that way, but that's how we took it. And although what Devin said in the moment, she could have phrased it much better, but it is true that she feels very, she does, she obviously, she was affected by Gemma's death. Like, we have heard about how close the couples were when Gemma was alive, and
Well, it's not unusual. So, like in real life, and where there is a loss when someone is killed, a lot of people process that grief very, very differently, and they don't always understand or are able to communicate or accept, even, like, because they're communicating. It's just they're not accepting that you're in a completely different place from me, and nothing's going to change that. And ultimately, the person who probably has the most rights in this circumstance, Mark is correct, is Mark. It's not her, the sister, to like, oh, we need to find out more. It's like, you need to know, stay in your lane, basically.
Anyway, also the guy from Lumen who has been with Heli or Helena the whole time is listening in on this conversation at the diner.
Stalking them.
Irv calls someone from a telephone booth who doesn't pick up, and
But we.
clearly this is a known thing that was going to happen. And then he sees this car, and he doesn't recognize the person inside, but we do. It's Bert. He's watching him, and we can't tell at this point whether or not that's because this strange man was pounding at his door, yelling his name, or if he has some knowledge of who Irv was inside of Lumen.
Is he as is he severed? Is he not severed? Like there's a lot of questions about
Mark's depressingly feeding his goldfish when
that.
Milchick shows up with a fruit basket
He's like, can I
with
have one?
pineapple. Very pineapple heavy season so far.
It is. We're gonna
Like
have to get some.
the comparison to melon of last season
Yeah,
that
but
we now
pineapple
have.
does taste better, although there's no way I'm bobbing for pineapple. That's
Oh,
not
that's
happening.
a death sentence. Milchick essentially has three talking points. He has a 20% bump in his salary, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's a
That's
lot.
huge. More wellness checks and investigations into the innie's claims. And hey, is your dead wife still a cause of your grieving in
Yeah,
the real
and a
world that
reason
you
you
want
want
to
to be.
be severed?
It's like, if somebody said that shit to me, I would be like, it's so not your business. Get the fuck out of my house. Just like, yeah, oh, well, I really hadn't really thought about it. Bye. That is not what happens, of course, because Mark is fortunate. So Helly watches as Mark returns to the severed floor. And we get to see her and the guy that we had seen her with before, and Natalie, the board liaison or whatever. And they have a discussion about Mark. Like, we need Mark to be back. We need to keep him happy. We need for him to complete Cold Harbor, which apparently is a big deal that Lincoln wants to
The
get
file he
done.
was working on at the end of last
Yeah.
episode.
So Milchick, when Mark contacts them and says, "Hey, I want my people back," they're like, "We need to keep him happy, get his people back." So Milchick goes and meets.
Including Helena.
Yeah. And she's like, "I'll go back down there too if that's what needs to happen."
We'll
It's
give
like,
him Heliar, fine.
yeah, it's fine. And so he gets Irving and Dylan back. What I was really bad.
Mark sees Cobell
Oh, right,
packing
he
up to
tries to
leave.
have, pardon me?
Mark sees Cobell packing up to leave.
Right, he tries to have a conversation with her, and she nearly runs him over. And then he asks about, "Do you know something about Gemma?" And she stops and she can't make eye contact with him, and she sits there, and you can tell that she's really struggling with it. Like, she wants to say something, but then she like loses her shit and like really almost hits him and drives away.
So that's all Mark needs to figure out, that that's
Yeah.
a trail that he needs to follow.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the end of the episode. What were your best parts?
The best parts were Devin, who I, although she
Sure,
says
yeah, the
something tone
sister.
deaf, I do like that she is like a dog with a bone with this whole Gemma thing, because I think someone needs to be.
Yeah.
And I think it makes sense for her, it to be her, considering she was the one who got to know Innie Mark the best while he was out and about. And he seemed to trust her quite a bit. And so her recognizing the distress and all the clues, aka a fucking picture frame in your hand, I think it's
Yeah.
fair for her to want to investigate more.
I agree.
I like Mark's journey in this episode of, I'm just gonna fucking quit, to, oh my fucking God, you have, something's up with my wife and this company, my dead wife and this company, who I thought was dead.
Yeah.
But I also think that his conversation with Devin, while not very constructive, was still something that needed to be talked about. I feel like they
Yeah.
have not really, obviously, like a year has passed. However, you haven't, or, he says he's been there 2 years when he was in the last episode. I don't, well,
Well,
they also,
he believes 5 months
I
is
was about to
enough.
say, he
So,
also
yeah.
was under the impression that 5 months had passed when they haven't, which is a crazy accusation to have.
Milchick is a liar. In
Yeah.
case you'd wondered, in case that was a hidden fact, it's not.
But yeah, it's been a year, but he still seems to have not confronted those feelings of like how he had to deal with the grief, the initial grief. And so him airing that out, I think, is still a good thing, even if it's not in a very constructive way. It needs to happen. And getting some idea of what's going on, of like, okay, there's something up with my wife and these people. And I'm glad that cliffhanger was not in vain, is what I mean.
Yeah.
They're actually going to use that as a catalyst for this season.
Yeah. And I think that that is good. I didn't really write that down. The only two people I wrote down, because they were the two that stood out to me the most, were Dylan, because I do think,
Oh,
again,
yeah, Dylan.
Dylan's kind of going through it in this. And I'm going to write her down as sister rather than Devin, because Devin and Dylan gets confusing to me. It just does. There are too many similarities and syllables and everything else, but I really like Mark's sister pushing this. I don't think I'm ever going to say that Mark is a bad part in this, and I do appreciate that he is growing some in this episode, but it wasn't f fully all the way to a best part for me. What were
Sure.
your worst parts?
Helena Egan, Jesus Christ, woman.
Oh.
Milchick and discriminating against severed people.
Yeah, Helly, and I'm gonna call her Helly.
It
Yeah,
is
so
easier to write down in notes. I was just trying to do it verbally.
yeah, no, she Helena Egan, whatever, Helly, awful. horrible. Milchick, awful, horrible. And just, that whole, it, we know some of the lies, but we also know that there are many more layers of lies that we don't know. So that we are hoping to learn more in season two. What grade did you give this episode?
B.
I give it a B also.
It's necessary to see what the Audis were up to right afterwards. Did I feel the need to watch Milchick fire the, like, I obviously, like, we needed to find out that Milchick was lying about the fact that they decided not to come back. However, I feel like that was an extended sequence that didn't really need to be there, and also.
A way too long sequence of everyone coming back and checking in Dale on the server. We get to see every single person go to their locker and get on the and get wanded and get on the elevators. Like, why? I mean, it's not like there was an encounter between anybody and, say, the security guard or anything like that. There was just nothing. Nothing. I felt like this episode was okay.
It was fine. I think we're getting back on the right track of where we need to be heading now that we have both pieces of the puzzle, the innie and the outie, all caught up from the end of last season to the beginning of this season. So now we can move on into let's figure what the fuck is going on inside of Lumen and try to get Gemma back plan.
That's the plan. That is the plan. And of course, we are hoping because we're always rooting for Mark.
And I also will say, I think that is when I'm most engaged with the show, is when they like focus on the let's get Gemma back and figure out what the fuck is going on at Lewin like storyline. It's when they veer off from that that I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I
And there
mean,
are times in this season where they do
well,
that.
right. Like that whole series with Dylan interviewing. I mean, it's funny the way it's done, and
It's funny and depressing and.
it is corporate hell and all of those other things, but it just doesn't feel like it's
It
going
wasn't
anywhere.
necessary.
It's kind of like when Mark and the doula go and see the punk band. It's
Yeah,
like, why are
very
we
much so.
okay, we know everybody hates Lumen.
I also would like to say
Yay.
I didn't add this as the best part last episode, but the whole Cold Harbor seeing Gemma's face thing at the very end, I did like the intrigue of that. And now that we know Cold Harbor is potentially something to do with Gemma, it's again, more intrigue.
Yes, definitely intriguing. We are all here for the intrigue. And of course, there is more dystopian creepiness to look forward to. And we are. So we hope that you join us and cheers.
Cheers.